the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Okay, and while I was walking home from shul, I've covered a lot of different topics. There are 13 different topics I put together on this list. But one thing I thought of: why is this thing called matzah? What does matzah mean? So I looked at some similar words in Hebrew, and it seems that what the word has in common is that a matzah is a thin layer, right? Something thin is a matzah. In the Gemara, a matzah is like a very thin mattress. It's called a matzah, right?
Not with an iron.
Like you used to get in camp. Remember the camp mattresses? Those used to call them matzahs, right? That seems to be the etymology of the word. Okay, so you see that I put down 13 different topics. And the thing that the chinuch starts with is whether there's a concept of chatzi shir in mitzvos haseh, like in mitzvos lo saseh. All right, we know that if the Torah says don't eat pork, so don't eat means don't eat a kazayas of pork. But there's a sheet at the end of Maseches Yuma, Rabbi Yochanan, that says that of course you're not supposed to eat a half a kazayas of pork also. A kazayas is only when you reach the threshold of a punishment, right? So the onesh of malchus or kares, if it's blood or chelev or chametz and pesach, or regular lav for eating tarfus or nazir violating his naziris by eating what comes from the grape. So those things are when the Torah says don't eat, in order to get the punishment, you need to eat a shear, all right? But so the Minchas Chinuch suggests that when it comes to a mitzvah saseh, there's also an inyan of chatzi shear. Obviously, that's a great shas adchak, right? And when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the Gemara says that you can absolutely fulfill your din of eating the Korban Pesach with less than a kizayis. As long as you're registered, right? So remember, there's a drash, it's from a pasuk. As long as you're registered, you're yotze, even if you don't eat at all. Remember, here's the pasuk, see if you can figure it out. Kol adas Yisrael ya'asu oso. It's like a funny drash. Kol adas Yisrael ya'asu oso. A similar drash is made in Maseches Sukkah when it says a sukkah has a height limit, but a width limit, it could be the size of the earth, because it says kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukos. You can have one sukkah where every Jew in the world sits in it. So there's no limitation on the size of the room, just the height of the sukkah is a limitation. So what is kol adas Yisrael yasu oso? What's the? It's like it's almost funny.
It can all be in one Korban Pesach,
right? The whole nation of Israel can be yotzei with one Korban Pesach, and of course, not everyone is getting a kazayas. I don't care if it's even Elisha handing it out. You're not getting a kazayas for everybody. I'm talking about the story of Melachim Beis, where Elisha feeds a whole town with one basket of bread, and whether the bread keeps on appearing after each person takes it, or each person took so little that they were satisfied, whatever it might be. That's a beautiful pasuk. It says Vayochlu Vayispa'u Vayosiru Kidvar Hashem, like we say in our Zmiros, Ochalnu Vehusarnu Kidvar Hashem. Okay, so that's the din of Korban Pesach. Of course, then he proves here from here that the achila of mitzvah saseh is also a shaychus to a chatzishir, right? Now, when we eat the matzah at the Seder, it's supposed to also be a kazayas b'chadechilas pras. Don't eat the kazayas slowly. You don't have to munch it down quickly. Excuse me. That can resemble an achila gasa. I'm so amused when you sometimes have a yeshiva bachrim over at our Seder and they're like munching away so quickly. For goodness sakes, you have an achilas pras. An achilas pras is tenzesim. In other words, you can eat one-tenth your regular speed, but it still has to shear. Okay, you have to eat one kezias in the time it takes to eat three beitzim, which according to the Vilna Gaon is 10 zeisim. All right.
2 to 9 minutes, right? Is kedei achilas pras?
Yeah. And when it comes to identifying kedei achilas pras in various halachos, we do this a lot in halacha, is we take the chumrah of every opinion, right? You want to have, when it comes to eating the matzah, you have a skimpy achilas pras. You don't want to spread it out. When it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, right? Because if an achilas pras is the less time that achilas pras is, makes it a kula on Yom Kippur.
Right.
And you can eat that amount every 4 minutes, every 3 minutes, instead of every 9 minutes. You hear what I'm saying here?
Yes.
So the definition of achilas pras might vary depending on whether it's a chumra or kula. I think I'll give an example of this. The Gemara says that chimutz takes place when water comes into contact with flour for the time it takes to walk a mill. How long does it take to walk a mill? Who's walking? Your Aunt Tilly or a sprinter, right? So when the Gemara also says in Maseches Chulin that you have to salt the different sides of meat the time it takes to walk a mill. So when it comes to matzah, we're machmir to 18 minutes. When it comes to the salting, we're machmir to 30 minutes. 30 minutes. The minhag is to salt meat for 30 minutes. So you get the point. We're taking the same shear the Gemara gives in two different places, a hiluch meal. Right? When it comes to matzah, there are three different shitos. There is Rashi, that's 18 minutes. There is the Rambam is 22 and a half minutes, and the Trumas Hadeshen says 24 minutes. And so we're machmir to the 18 minutes. I think I just mixed up the Rashi and the Rambam, but it doesn't matter. So 18, 22 and a half, and 24, and that is. And of course, you've probably never seen a box of matzahs that says 22 and a half minute matzahs, but you have seen matzahs that say 18 minute matzahs. Okay, all right. So look, these shear.
Matzahs 18 minutes. Excuse me.
Yeah. So, but there's 24 minute matzahs also, and 22 and a half minute matzahs, but just that we're machmir on the sheet. Okay, so this is one of the first things he discusses. Is where he says shiurel, but the very first thing he discusses is mano. So Korban Pesach takes along with it matzah and maror, and we already learned that maror is only a mitzvah if you d'oraisa if you're reading it with the Korban Pesach, but matzah has a separate mitzvah d'oraisa because it says be'erev tochul matzos. So the question is, when should we preferably eat the matzah at the seder? So obviously you're starting your meal with a motzi, right? You're starting the meal, so it's yontif, and you need to make a motzi at the meal, right? So that's called motzi. But then there's also something called motzi matzah. In other words, we're not just making a motzi lechem min haaretz. We're making a shir kedushah mitzvah sof tzivanu al achilas matzah because this happens to be a separate mitzvah. Right, almost akin to eating in the sukkah, al achilas matzah and leishev basukkah. Right, if there's time at the end, we'll discuss what's the qualitative difference between al achilas matzah and asher kedushah mitzvah tzivanu leechol matzah.
Right,
what's the difference?
During the Seder, do we make the two brachas together?
Yes, one right after the other.
Right, but on the same matzah.
Yeah, that's why we have three matzahs, because the minhag is to break one in half early in the Seder and put it aside like a poor person puts aside food for later.
Yeah,
and then we want to be left with Lecha Mishnah.
So you
have three matzahs at the Seder. So that you break it.
Some of the Rishonim only had two matzahs at the Seder.
I'm sorry?
Some of the Rishonim only had two matzahs.
Yeah. Because for them, it was Adraba, it was the way of the poor. But still, the most prevailing minog is that you have Kohen Levi Yisrael, whatever it is, but you have your matzah tash with three. All right. So the Maisa, the Zman for the mitzvah, I think this came up last week, is according to the Rashbam, the main Achilas Matzah is actually the Afikoman. Because while it does say Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, the much more important Achilas Matzah was that which accompanied the Korban Pesach.
Right.
Since the Korban Pesach was dessert, was the end of the meal, right? Remember the Lashon of the Mishnah? It says, Ochlin Korban Pesach al Hasova. Hasova. Your Korban Pesach should be eaten when you're full so that you have no inclination to be famished and break a bone. And it's, as we say, that's your dessert, right? Because usually people attended the Seder in Yerushalayim with dozens and dozens, scores of people. You brought everyone over because, you know, you had a whole animal and you would give everyone a little kizayis at the end of the meal and you know, you want to minimize the nosar. We had that already also. So you came in with a lot of people, and the main achilas matzah was that which you had with the Korban Pesach. So if that's the case, then it certainly should mahader to eat the matzah before chatzos, right? To be eating it in the way of the Korban Pesach. Now there's a big debate in the Mefarshim about Rabbi Akiva's shita that says that you can eat the Korban Pesach all night. And this came up already. I mean, this, all the mitzvahs are intertwined here in Parshas Bo. But when the Torah says that al tosiru mimenu ad boker, don't leave any of it over past the morning, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says that doesn't mean you can eat it all until the morning. It just means that if you had it left over in the past the morning, that's when the din of nosar kicks in. So the question is does Rabbi Akiva, would Rabbi Akiva agree with Rabbi Loza ben Azariah midrabbanan? Right, he says that you can eat the Korban Pesach ad sha'as chipazon. We saw all these psukim already, and then we have the question of the first Mishnah in Maseches Brachos over what is really the underlying machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel now and the Chachamim. I'll leave Rabbi Eliezer out of it. The Rabbi Gamliel says you have all night to say Kriyat Shema, and the Chachamim say you have till midnight. Right? The reason why I'm asking this question is because is that on Daf Dalid the Gemara asks this question. What is the Chachamim's svara of going back to midnight? Because the Gemara are already established that the machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you have to finish Kriyat Shema by 10 o'clock, by the first Ashmorah, which is 10 p.m., that an equinox night, that at 10 p.m., the reason why Rabbi Eliezer says your time has run out is because the pasuk says b'shachbecha. What does b'shachbecha mean according to that?
People go to sleep.
So the Daf Dalid, the Gemara asks, what is the Chachamim Svara of midnight? Is it that they agree with Rabbi Eliezer's definition of b'shachbecha, meaning when you go to sleep, but they think people go to sleep at midnight? Or does b'shachbecha mean what Rabbi Gamliel obviously says it means, which is all the while that you are sleeping, b'shachbecha? Miri points out in the first Mishnah that no one has that opinion of kumecha. Everybody agrees with kumecha means when you get up. But the b'shachbecha can suffer two different opinions, when you go to sleep and all the while you're sleeping, right? So this is the Pnei Yoshua's kasha on Daf Dalet. The Pnei Yoshua says, this is a klutz kasha. The first Mishnah explains the answer to this question. Why is the Gemara curious? Remember, it's the very bottom of Daf Dalet and Aleph. Why is the Gemara curious about something that's so obvious from the Mishnah? I mean, Gamaliel told his sons that really you have all night to daven, to say Kriyat Shema, but the Chachamim wanted the Kedei Laharchik Ha'adam Min Ha'aveira. That word, Laharchik, means it's a drabanan. to say Kriyat Shema till at midnight is till midnight is a chumrah midrabanan, but midaraisa you have all night. Okay, famous tshuva of the Shagis Aryeh. I think we might have covered this sometime earlier.
Rabbi, didn't we also learn though when it says Higia, you know, that when they came in and it was almost morning and they said that you had to say Kriya Shema or something, meaning
that was Kriya Shema Shal Shachris though.
Was it?
Yeah. They presumably had already davened Mariv. They were saying the stories of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim to prove.
Yeah, but they said it at night.
Mitzrayim Balelos to prove that there is an Inyan. But that's this. That's a side point. That's the rest of the year. This night, everybody agrees that there's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as opposed to just plain Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just mentioning. But that was it. Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. It says so. It says at the end of the paragraph.
Why can't it be on an individual level? If someone normally goes to sleep at 1 o'clock, maybe that should be his time to say. Why does it have to be necessarily a time set? What is the norm? It could. You know, some people work all night or something.
I get it, but you should be able to answer that question by the very strong fluctuation of when we daven Mariv between the winter and the summer, you know? Right? I mean, what difference does it make? There should be a uniform Mariv. We should daven Mariv, like the Temple Emmanuel, at 6 p.m. all year, right? They daven Mariv 6 p.m., whether it's winter or summer. Their Marav is 6, you know, their Shabbos Marav is 6 p.m. So no, it fluctuates with the sun. You might want to say maybe that should be different today, but all right, we were, you know, you went to sleep with the sun because you had to work in the fields in the morning, and then you woke up very early when the sunrise. Anyway, that's the no, the Gemara never thought to make it subjective. All right, but that's precisely the point. Is that most Rishonim understand the Chachamim to say, like Rabbi Akiva, you really have all night to do this, but as a harchaka, we're going to put a fence around the Torah and say that you have to do it by midnight, lechatchila, and that could be the machlokas whether Kriyat Shema is d'oraisa or d'rabanan.
What's the answer to the Bnei Yeshua's question?
Pnei Yeshua, it's a complicated question. He says that in the fourth perek in Maseches Brachos, the Gemara says that having more time to daven is a chumra. Having less time to daven is a kula. Okay, it was one of the first Tosfos in the fourth perek in Brachos. Right, when the Gemara asks about Adva Ad Bichlal, so Tosfos says, what are you asking? The Gemara in Maseches Nida says that whenever there's a question of Adva Ad Bichlal, then if it's a Doraisa, then you go L'chumra, and all Shi'urim D'Rabbanon also go L'chumra, except the Gris in Hilchos Nida. All Shi'urim go L'chumra. So Tosfos says, so you should go L'chumra, you have less time to daven. So Tosfos says, no. Having more time to daven is a chumrah. So the Pnei Yeshua uses this svaras HaTosfos and says the following. He says that on the face of it, it looks like the machlokas is whether Kriyat Shema is d'oraisa d'rabanan. The one who says it's d'oraisa says we have to make a fence around the Torah and limit the time of Kriyat Shema till midnight. The one who says it's d'rabanan, Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel explicitly says in the second parak that Kriyat Shema is d'rabanan, right? So if you say that Kriyat Shema is Rabbanan, then you don't need a harchaka. You don't need to put a fence around Rabbanans. We only need to put fences around Doraisas. So using the Sfara of Tosfos, the Pnei Yeshua says that the reason why the Gemara asked the question that was so obvious is because it felt that this treatment of the Doraisa is different. It was, why are you being machmir on a Rabbanan and make Hill on a Doraisa?
Okay.
You get it? By limiting the time, it's a kula. By extending the time, it's a chumra. And in this particular case, he thinks that it Pnei Yeshua, it's a big chiddush, but okay. All right, so this might be, according to the Chinuch says in the very beginning, it might be the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. But the chiddush is that Rabbi Kiva would agree with Rabbi Loza ben Azariah that you should finish the Korban Pesach by midnight. I will tell you that there is a whole host of, it's in my Haggadah, of commentary about that chapter, that the paragraph that Robbie just mentioned with the five rabbis that were learning all night, and the students came in to say, Higiyah Zman Kriyat Shema Shoshachas. Because there is a daya in the Rishonim that the din of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is inextricably tied together with the mitzvah of the mitzvahs at the Seder. Right? When we say Matzazu Shanu Ochlim Al Shuma, why do I have to say that? Says Rabbi Gamliel, says the same Rabbi Gamliel, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Elu Lo Yotzo Yedei Chovaso. What chova is not fulfilled if you didn't say these three things? Certainly not the chova of Matz and Maror. You don't need to have kavana to eat Matz and Maror. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Kfa'o Shade, Kfa'o Akum, Ve'ocho Matzah Yotzo. If someone forces matzah down your throat, you're yotze. Of course, it's nice to say in the Muchel Muzuman and to know why we're eating matzahs, but it's not necessary. So what does it mean that if you didn't say these three paragraphs, you're not yotze? What is it that you're not yotze? Tell us, Rabbi Gamliel. The answer is, you're not yotze the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You would be yotze on Pesach Matzah and Moro. You just wouldn't be yotze on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it seems Bavur Zeh, Lo Amarti Bavur Zeh, Ela B'Shor Sheish Matzah Moro Munochan Lefanecha. You can't tell the boy Bavur Zeh and point to things that's for the Shinei Yodei Lishol unless you have mitzvahs to point to. And those mitzvahs are at night. So okay, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is at night, not Yochom Erosh Chodesh and not Mibod Yom. It's Bavur Zeh, Talmud Lomar, B'Shor Sheish Matzah Moro Munochan Lefanecha, which is at night. So when we tell the paragraph, when we have the paragraph of those five rabbis eating together, so there's a series of questions that is asked. One of which is, why do I have to be told where they were eating? Where were they eating?
B'nai Brak, right?
B'nai Brak, which was of course the place of Rabbi Akiva. The main drag in B'nai Brak is Rehov Rabbi Akiva. That was his place. And so they say that since Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is tied to Achilas Korban Pesach and Achilas Matzah and Maror, and if that's the case, then Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim all night is as if though they ate Korban Pesach all night. So as to tell me that they were at the house of Rabbi Akiva in order to explain why they were doing this all night. Ah, okay. There's no raya that they were actually eating the Korban Pesach all night. Because most Meforshim hold that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Loza ben Azariah as a harchoka. Rabbi Loza ben Azariah says it's a din d'oraisa to finish at midnight. Rabbi Akiva agrees that it's a din of a harchoka to finish the Korban Pesach by midnight. And of course, I'm sure by now everybody knows that halacha lamaisa, if you did not eat your afikoman before midnight, then you definitely should eat it as long as it's before dawn. Okay? All right, so let me just go about answering some of the questions I put here. All right, the reasons for eating
matzah. Sorry, did you just say that again, what you just said? If you don't
eat the afikoman, but if you missed midnight,
yeah,
still eat the afikoman.
Okay, you just have to eat it before
dawn.
Okay. So let me ask you, everyone that always tries to have their Seder go later, in reality, that's not the right thing to do. You should probably try to eat it by midnight. That's what it seems like to me.
I'm not going to ask Howard Goodkin, can you picture a brisker going that late at the Seder, right? The briskers, I was never with the Rav of Soldier, but the briskers may go run right through. They go very quickly. They read it it's a tefillah. Right, this is a far cry from my Seder. Is like we get to dinner like 11:30, but thank God it's still daylight savings, so we have till about 1.
Yeah.
I think that this coming Pesach. Oh yeah, it's daylight savings now is the beginning.
That's because they hold the coast for all of Magid.
Right.
All of Magid.
Yeah.
And they don't talk during the Seder until the Afikoman.
Right. Okay. So okay.
Yeah, wow. Wow. Yeah.
All right, so let me just go run through some of these reasons here, and we'll do some justice to knowing what matzah is all about. The reason for eating the matzah is a pele. It says because they were rushing out of Egypt at night, and they didn't want the dough that they took with them to become chametz. What? That dough would rise on their backs, no? And furthermore, if God told Moshe that they should eat matzah in commemoration of this hurry that they were in 2 weeks in advance. The first command to eat matzahs was made on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. God should have told them, listen, guys, start baking bread a day or two early because the night you're leaving, you're going to be in a big rush. Right? So the fact is, Ibn Ezra says that the fact that it says in the Haggadah, Halach ma'anya di'acholu avasana ba'ara de Mitzrayim, is that that's actually the bread we ate in Egypt. The nice story as we were leaving is also good, and we should explain it. The best explanation I've seen is I have it here on page 4. Yeah, it's in the name of Ramban. Is that why does it have to tell us that it was in their knapsacks on their backs? Is that they were rushing and they were running, and the back knapsacks were probably jiggling, and so that kept it from becoming chametz.
I believe it was probably pita, yeah, not maybe. Matzah.
Well, that's like my lavash bread, yeah. All right, so it's the Sephardi bread, right? So, but in its core, this is the matzah we ate in Egypt. Because if you have just a little bit of dough and you're poor, it's poor man's bread, not just because it has so few ingredients, but because it stays in the stomach longer, it takes longer to digest, as we all know, and therefore it satisfies the poor person for a longer period of time. Okay, this also works well with the maror, by the way. Not just that the maror was like a lefes for the pas. You don't have a meat sandwich without a little piece of vegetable inside. But it's also, remember that in the ancient world, their karbanos were always included yeast and honey. Two, the most popular additives to their menachos and their karbanos. So comes the Torah to say, I don't like yeast and honey in their karbanos because yeast and honey masks what it's put on. I want you to put salt on your karbanos because that enhances what it's on. And the yeast and the honey comes to like, as if though to say that we're undoing the yeast with the matzah, and we're undoing the honey with the maror. So al matzah sumrom yochluhu is a way of showing our like mishchu kechulachem tzon, mishchu et atzrachem min avod zara. Everything about the Korban Pesach was meant to wean us away from idolatrous practices. After all the 10 plagues helped the Elohim Mitzrayim Esesh Fotim, remember the mindset at that time. We didn't only have to get Egypt out of our system. We had to get the Tumah of Egypt out of our system. And that Tumah is well attested in Midrashim, but your best place to look at that is Yechezkel. Yechezkel chapter 20 and 21 really has a very, very clear picture of what we call the 49 levels of Tumah. And as you can imagine, look, think here in America, Nebuch. This Africans were brought here to America, and it took them just a very short time to start worshiping the gods, the god of their slave masters to free them from their misery. Right? They became Christians. You know, whether their masters forced them into that or not, I don't know. But they, you know, surely they had their tribal religions and their loyalties back at home, and they very quickly dropped that. So you can imagine that the Jews were confronted with a very, very much certainly a very cultured and very highly scientific and very, very high culture society, and it was very easy to become to what happened to us in Hellenization, what happened in Egypt. But the Chazal tell us we maintained our names, our dress, our language, and certain differences that kept us in the in the folds, that we would still be within the program to hear Moshe. I had a bit of a chiddush in my Haggadah that also ancient Egypt was most famous in this realm of introducing bread to the world. Are you familiar with that? Really with culture that introduced the idea of yeast and bread. So avoiding that type of product would help us consciously get the Egypt out of us. You hear it? All right. So there could be multiple explanations for and purposes to eating this particular bread product. Of course, first and foremost, to remember the process of leaving, but also to remember the process of what it was like there, and to remember how the necessity of getting out of there and getting out of there in body as well as in spirit. Okay, so that explains the nusach of Halach Ma'anya, Diachalu Avasana Ba'ara Dimitzrayim.
Right.
Okay.
Rabbi, one thing based on earlier something you said, you mentioned the Iker is the Afikoman at the end and the Matzah Samrorim.
Yes, Sikas Rishpam, beginning of Avikoman.
If the matzah semrorim yochluhu really is meant to tie it to the Korban Pesach as opposed to like the mitzvah of matzah, why do we not eat the Hillel sandwich at the end of the Seder? Has anyone asked that?
Yeah, I would suspect that when we go back to eating Korban Pesach, that is when we'll eat it.
Okay.
I think that it's a formality at that point. Not fulfilling any extra din.
Okay.
Right? The chiddush, if I could say a pshat explanation of al matzah semrorim yochluhu might be similar to just the way the Gemara in Chulin, this is the drasha where it's made explicitly, the Gemara in Chulin says that when you cover the blood of game, because game is, the game's blood doesn't go on to the Mizbeach, so we don't want people thinking, oh, it's game, I can drink the blood. No, no, I want you to show your utter contempt because blood is usher, even if it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. So when the Gemara says that you have to have dust under the blood and dust over the blood. Because it says, v'chisahu be'afar.
Okay.
So amatzah semrorim yochluhu seems to also be something where I have Korban Pesach, and I want matzah and matzah. Some say that it was matzah maror Pesach maror matzah. That you should have maror surrounding the Korban Pesach also. And I think I think what appears to be even a third example. If you can interpret a Gemara in Sanhedrin this way, that says that it says uskaluhu ba'avonim. There also should be avonim below him and above him, because the Gemara says that they never had to actually stone the person. But, I mean, it's not a very pleasant death either, is that they would throw him off a building.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so the earth is the stones beneath him, and the stones they throw at him is the stones above him. There's dust below and above, chisahu be'afar. There's stones below and above, uskaluhu. And amatzah semrorim yochluhu means that there's bread above it and as well as below it. And I suspect that when we do go back to eating the Korban Pesach, that we will indeed have do it at the end of the meal.
Okay.
Now, when we this question of bo'inon ta'am matzah. So number 3 on page 4, it says, bola matzah yotza. Balamor or lo yotza. If you swallow the matzah, now the matzah in order to fulfill the din of matzah, you need to have its bracha. You need a meseches brachos perek vav sugya. The bracha has to be hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Okay, that is actually based on the Gemara in Menachos that talks about the first time that a kohen brings a mincha. And it tells you, and he puts the mincha in his hand, and he does the kmitza, and then he says the shechianu because it's his first avoda, and then he says he makes a motzi. So the Gemara asks, a motzi? This is scooped up, and it's like matzah meal. So the Gemara says, no, it was grain. It was made into a paste. But then he put it together. Sha'orson. Remember that Lashon B'Sha'orson? He made it into like a knedel. But it ended up having what's called Turisa Denahama. It looked like bread. So that's why its bracha was a motzi. The answer is that you can break the matzah down as long as its bracha is hamotzi lechem in aretz. Now, when you break it down into matzah farfel, right? You all know matzah farfel. I don't see it so much anymore, but you all know what matzah farfel is as opposed to matzah meal, right?
Right.
So matzah farfel, it could have its tiny little pieces, but there could be little pieces of Teresa Denama, like breadcrumbs, right? So as long as this thing has Teresa Denama, its bracha is a motzi. But what happens if you swallow it? You can swallow. Those are small to swallow. So and for the Gemara, daf kuftes vavam days yotza for the matzah, because matzah you don't have to actually have the taste of the matzah. Okay, so that's the question I'm asking here in number three. But you do have to have the taste of the mara. Okay, if korchan besiv ubalon afide matzah nami lo yotza. Okay, if you wrap some into something and then it's really just like a matzah meal, then he wouldn't be yotze on that because the bracha isn't a motzi. Okay, first and foremost, in order to be yotze in matzah, the bracha has to be hamotzi lechem in haaretz. Okay, so now you see it says, I have on page 5, l'chatchila tzarech sheyargish ta'am hamatzah b'fiv. You should preferably taste the matzah. Okay. But below shir gisha tam, yotza yedecha vaso. Kiven shamatza ba'atma yishla dayan titam. All right. So that if the matzah, if you didn't taste it, then you're still yotze. Okay. Now, when it cut, the next thing, there's a question about the threshold between matzah and chametz. We all know what that is, right? So there's a Gemara in Maseches, in the last parak in Maseches Psachim, that says, Ein yotzin b'matzah shruya. That's the Roman numeral number 4 on page 5. Tani, yotzin b'rakike ha-sharuya mevushal shaloni moach divrei Meir Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yotzin birakika shiroi avaloba mavushol afapi shiloni moach. So if the matzah got wet, you're yotze, but not if it started to get like cooked and just falling apart. So there's a threshold for this, but this Gemara really throws a cold water on the gebrachts minhag. How can you be machmir on gebrachts in light of this Gemara?
Right.
Gemara says that you're not yotze on the mitzvah of matzah at the Seder, but nowhere does the Gemara say it makes it chametz.
Mm-hmm.
Adarabba, the Gemara says very clearly, ein chimutz achar afia.
Mm-hmm.
Once something is fully baked, it can never again become chametz. That's precisely the point. If you hear that, the Vilna Gaon ate gebrachts, right? The Hasidim don't eat gebrachts. It's a very Hasidish kind of thing to do. So someone once asked, a Hasid, why are you not eating gebrachts? The Vilna Gaon ate gebrachts. So the Hasid answered, if I had the Vilna Gaon's matzah, I would also eat gebrachts. In other words, I'm worried that the matzah that we made, or the matzah that I bought, and so this sometimes happens. I've never seen it happen with machine matzah, I got to tell you. But I've seen it in some of the hand matzahs. And you can see it if it's very thick and it's like even gets a fold in it. Inside that fold, you can sometimes see it looks like talcum powder. That has not been fully baked. And if that's put into hot soup, you might get chametz into that soup.
You actually have seen that?
I've seen it looks like talcum powder, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a long, long time ago. Now they have the better ovens, maybe, I don't know. But I remember seeing it a long time ago.
But by the way, even if you would get chametz, wouldn't that be batel b'shishim?
No, chametz is never batel b'shishim on Pesach. Chametz is batel b'shishim before Pesach. There's a machlokes in the Rashi and the Rambam, why that's so. But the let's do Rashi's perush, is that chametz on Pesach is an Isser Kares, plus it's usually mutter. those two inyanim together make for a real strong chumrah. Yeah. Isur kares alone is not enough because blood is also asur kares, and isur kares and blood is batel b'shishim.
Yeah.
But chametz on Pesach is never batel.
So where is it batel? Is it batel b'shishim like in karbanos or something? Is that where it comes up? Not on Pesach.
If blood, what do you mean?
No, chametz being batel b'shishim.
So if are you asking that if chametz got mixed up with menachos?
Yeah. What I'm saying is, you said we don't say it on Pesach. So I'm saying, when does the issue of chametz being batel b'shishim come up?
Oh, if it's batel before Pesach.
Right. You can use a lot of milk and freeze it.
Yeah.
But get like Pesach milk.
Right. Dude, that's people have minhag regarding if milchik, strictly speaking. Things you buy that are milchiks before Pesach doesn't need to say kosher the Pesach on it. It has to be kosher. It should be kosher cream cheese. It should be kosher American cheese. But if it's whatever tiny trace of chametz that the animal ate that went into its milk is batel b'shishim before Pesach. It's only if you buy a dairy product during Pesach that you better be sure it says kosher Pesach on it.
Uh-huh. So if you buy it before Pesach, you can use it on Pesach. The dairy product. That was you?
Uh-oh.
He's frozen. It's got a little cold.
Yeah.
And this is being taped.
Yeah. It was a bandwidth issue, I think. But
right. Last week, I think his whole apartment went out to something.
Yeah, this happens to me all the time too. So,
but you're frozen out.
Yeah, or the internet kicks you off. The Wi-Fi kicks you off, or something. You get too little.
A lot of people on the.
But he's still. His thing is still there. His name and you know.
Doesn't happen to me. The only thing that happens to me is my kids kick me off.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-oh, now we lost them completely.
I used to get kicked
off. He'll be back on. That's because.
By the way, Steve is now the host. Who's Steve?
So that must be why.
He's now the host.
Okay. But we can't even see him.
I think he's batel b'shishim.
I know, he's at least. A sign or something.
I think it's a good sign that when you get frozen, you have to go off to get back on again. It doesn't get unfrozen. So it's a good sign he'll be coming back.
Yeah, it's true. I love that the Briskers do this quickie Seder because it's like they can't even have fun at the Seder.
It's not in their vocabulary.
But they always have fun. Chassidim always have fun. That's the, you know, they're always
Briskers.
No, but not the Briskers go like it's, you know, right. They're joyless even at the same.
Chassidim in general. The Vilna Gaon is the one who kept the matzo ball in his window on Pesach, like on purpose.
I thought he used to pour hot water over.
Rabbi, you're muted, matzo. Rabbi Schwartz. You're muted. Okay.
Once the thing is fully baked, it can never become chametz again.
So that was the Vilna Gaon kept the right. Is that a
yeah? If you have true big matzo meal, then you can do whatever you want with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's look what they're doing now in the hotels. They're obviously using matzo meal and they're getting these pastes and potato starch and other things that. And they're making, I've seen the cakes, you know, I've seen the
amazing.
They have pizzas and they have cereals, Cheerios, you know.
By the way, I've seen rolls.
Yeah, I can look at rolls.
They're making rolls out of the potato stuff. It looks like rolls.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So let me just end with a few additional points is, the matzah on Erev Pesach, there are a number of different opinions. Some say that you stop eating matzah already at Purim. Some say Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Some say on the from the time of the Bedikas Chametz. Some say from the time of from the time of dawn on Erev Pesach. When Erev Pesach is a Shabbos, what appears to be that the best way to deal with this is to have egg matzahs in the morning.
Is this matzah ashira or?
Yeah, because it's matzah ashira, and such matzah, first of all, according to most poskim, is not what's asur on Erev Pesach, because you can't fulfill your din at the Seder with that. Okay. Right? Remember, it's you know, the famous Yerushalmi that says it's like an engaged couple that right before the wedding they consummate their marriage a day before the wedding. You know, that's nonsense. We can't wait till the wedding. So the answer everyone gives, the famous answer, is that there are seven brachos in the Seder, starting with Kiddush, leading up to the matzah, including the two brachas of the matzah. So why do you have Sheva brachas, and then you can enjoy the matzahs. But to say that eating matzah on Erev Pesach is tantamount to that kind of thing. It's just the Gemara is being exaggerative, not being patient.
There's a famous quip by Bialik. They say
I know. I've tried both. Yeah.
Ain't last words.
By the way, why do you have to stop eating bread like at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock? Why can't you eat it till Pesach begins?
Okay, so that's a Gemara that says, Ach, is three different limudim. Ach, Bayom HaRishon. So Ach comes to say that Tashbisu Seor, which means that sometime in the middle of that Erev Pesach day, in the Gemara Darshan Chatzos. Also another pasuk that says, Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Right? Don't offer the Korban Pesach while you have chametz. Right? That's the real Doraisa. So that according to we'll see next week, if you even own matzah, own chametz, after the time for Shechitas Korban Pesach, there's a b'machlokas in the Rishonim whether you violate a Doraisa or not.
So what do you do this year when you have Shabbos that goes into Pesach and you have to have Shalashudas?
So that's why I thought that Egg Matzah, I think Egg Matzah might be the best Eitzah. What we do is most shuls daven like a very early davening. You have a very early lunch. You have to have shalashudis before this, the last time to eat, which is like pretty early, which is like 9:45. So that can right, be a possible bracha of atola. If you eat lunch and then bench and then 5 minutes later wash again, you're goreim lebrachos shein letzricha. You know, you have to have a better eitzah than that. Okay.
Right, but I think I've heard people, you know, they eat lunch, they go, then they go for like a walk for 10 minutes or something, and then they come.
They're hungry again? Okay, maybe.
Well, or at least so that has a break. They're, you know.
You can be yotze with mizonos.
Yeah, but you can't have mizonos. You know, a lot of people don't eat mizonos either because it's gebratz, you know, whatever, right? I mean, that's the other thing. What would normally be mizonos, you know,
it'd be chametz.
Most cake on Pesach is shahakal, so you couldn't eat it anyway.
Oh, I see what you... No, but you're allowed to have a brei mene mizonos for shalashudis.
You're allowed to have a brei mene mizonos normally, but most Pesach cakes now are shahakal, aren't they?
How can you be how can you be yotzei shalashudis with a
shahakal? Right, yes. right.
Wait a second. There's mizonos rolls. So you say you can have mizonos rolls?
No, that's a fraud.
So that's what can I say? That's the pasa baba kisnin. But if you're koveya seuda, it doesn't help you. Koveya seuda, even if it is a mizonos roll, like you get in the airplane, and you should make a motzi on it. If you koveya seuda on it. So that just begs the question that we're getting off topic of matzah, but shalashudis, you can be yotze with one of the five fruits. You can be yotze with less than a motzi. All right, but I know the prevailing practice is to is to make an early lunch bench and do something that indicates that you have some hunger again, but right. Make sure that it's not just a quick just a formality, because that could be a bracha levatola, just benching and washing right afterwards. Why would you do such a thing?
Once we're talking about
Rabbi,
this.
Don't you really do that on Erev Tisha B'Av also?
You mean you make shalosh shudis and then you bench?
On Erev Tisha B'Av, you're eating a meal right before and then you're benching, and then you're having your egg with a piece of bread also, right?
Well, that meal on Erev Tisha, and every Erev Tisha B'Av doesn't necessarily have that bread in it,
but it often does. I mean, it can.
Yeah, no, hey, if it's shalosh shudis, yes, it does.
And for shalosh shudis for sure. For shalosh shudis for sure, right?
Yeah, that too. I would say that too is a problem. If you force yourself to bench and then right away, 5 minutes later, make another motzi.
Right, right.
It doesn't make sense.
And there's even less chance that you're going to go out for a walk because you're not going to.
Yeah, I'd sooner just eat the egg with, you know, dip it in a little ash and not make another.
And motzi. not even make motzi. Okay.
Yeah. Or have the sudam of, you know, the meal that you eat to so that you're full, have that meal a little before, not right before.
Right. Okay. But usually you try to eat as close to the fast as you can. I think.
Yeah. However, I think I saw Ruben. Were you asking a question?
Yeah. Could you kaveh a suda without eating hamotzi if you eat a large amount of food?
If it's mizonos and it becomes a kvius seuda, and it, even if you started the meal making a mizonos, if it becomes three beitzim, you know, the two pizza pie rules, then you have to make a motzi or bench.
This is the wedding question.
It has to be mizonos. It couldn't be some without mizonos.
It has to be mizonos. Has to be
so covered. Could you have an extra, could you bench, then have an extra amount of mizonos, and then eat lots of food for the next whatever amount of time, even into the time that you can't have chometz, and then bench?
Yeah, theoretically, there's nothing wrong with eating at that hour. It's only 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. Ostensibly, your
right.
Beer chometz is by eating whatever chametz you have left in the house, because you can't burn anything on Shabbos morning. You just eat it. Eat it or flush it or something. You just eat it. The best beer is to eat it.
And then keep on eating fruit for several hours after, and then bench.
Yeah, be careful.
If you got to flush it, either way, you're going to end up flushing it, whether you eat it or flush
okay,
it.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Well, you have to finish eating it.
Yeah. I just want to end with asking this question. Why is the holiday in the Torah called Chag HaMatzos? And, you know, so for us, it's convenient. It just doesn't make sense to call it, where are you going for the festival of unleavened bread? You know, where are you going for Pesach? You know, kosher le Pesach. You're not going to write kosher le Chag HaMatzos. But the Dubna Magid said something very, very nice and sweet on this. He says that calling the holiday Pesach stresses what a Kaddish Baruch Hu did. We didn't do Pesach. God did Pesach, right? So it is because Asher Pasach Hashem ala Pesach. Now, nowhere does the Torah ever call the holiday Chag HaPesach. In fact, wherever you hear those words, Chag HaPesach, that's a korban. Pesach is a korban in the Torah. It's the korban that we ate when God was busy passing over. What does the word mean? That's fascinating in itself, because Pesach is to crouch, right? A Piseach is a cripple, because he has to crouch and he has to lean on one leg, right? So it means to jump, to jump over from one thing to another. So Hashem was over a la Pesach. So we like to call the holiday because of something HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And what does Hashem call the holiday in the Torah? Because of something we did. The Chag HaMatzos expresses what we did. We put this half-baked bread product on our backpacks, and we left into the desert totally subservient to God's plan, v'gam tzedo lo asu lahem. That's the Sforno says, that's what Yirmiyahu meant when it said, Zacharti lo chesed nurayach avas klulusayach lechtech acharai b'midbar be'eretz lo zrua. That you followed me into the desert blindly like that with such love. And this is the function of Ani Ledodi Vidodi Li, the Megillah that we read on Pesach Shir HaShirim, is that I want to be for Ledodi, so I'm going to call it Chag HaPesach, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be a Vidodi Li. He's calling it after what we did, which was Chag HaMatzos. Okay.
Beautiful.
All right. Okay, guys. Great day, great week. Kodesh Tov.